Welcome, Hawk fans. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Talk. I am your host, Colin Cole, and we are back. We have another great show for you today. I got to introduce my co-host, the two-time All-Conference, the three-year starter right tackle, the incomparable, the well-knowledged and well-traveled Mr. David Porter. David, thank you for joining us on the show, sir.
Dude, always a pleasure to be here, especially after a W. That was a lot of fun.
No question. So the Hawks are heading into their last game of the season. But first, they're coming off of a 13-10 victory over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. A game in which the Hawks relinquished a lot of yardage, gave up a lot of yardage to Mr. Muhammad Ibrahim, along with the rest of this Golden Gopher defense. This is the most yardage they've given up all year, behind the Ohio State game. And so let's jump right into it, David. The Hawks did a good job overall. Spencer Petras went 15 for 24 for 221 yards. No touchdowns, but again, no turnovers, no interceptions. No interceptions, Spencer Petras. Caleb Johnson, it was running back by committee on Saturday up in Minneapolis. Caleb Johnson had 8 carries on 43 yards. LaShawn Williams, 11 on 38 yards. Gavin Williams, 2 on 8. And Spencer got an end zone off of the QB sneak. He had a couple sacks, but the QB sneak got the touchdown for the Hawks. Sam LaPorta, we saw go down in the game. Injury, we got to get updates, see if he'll be ready to go this upcoming weekend or ready to go once the Hawks win this upcoming weekend. We'll get into that a little bit later. But, Luke Lachey stepped in and played nicely. 5 receptions for 77 yards. Brody Brett, 2 for 21. And then Arlen Bruce had himself a catch for 7 yards. Addison or Ostrenga also had a catch. And Gavin Williams also had a reception. The Hawk defense against this Minnesota Golden Gopher the Hawk offense against this Minnesota Golden Gopher defense, they did just enough to get it done. David, looking back at this game, where did we see the Hawks grow and sustaining drives and no turnovers yet again for this Hawkeye unit? What are your thoughts?
You are saying it. I mean, the one that we're not talking about are a lot of mistakes that the Hawks made, right? Especially on offense. We know that we've had that propensity in the past. So we're looking at the quarterback. Like you said, 0 interceptions for the day, which is great. He's been doing that consistently. When I look at the offensive line, there was 1 sack given up for this game, right? I think last game we gave up like 6 sacks. So definitely growth there with the offensive line. That's actually really good. That Minnesota defense, they're not slouch at all. So the O-line, they did create some holes here, some seams. Caleb, he got out there, got the corner once. He got some good yards. He's actually really good on that sideline. And LaShawn Williams, we watched that one cut he made there in the hole and got right up the middle. So, like I said, the running back committee, my committee, is really good. Not a lot of not a lot of errors. This team has really the offense. They're playing a lot of mistake-free ball. Not exciting at all. They didn't get a ton of yardage against this Minnesota defense, but like you said, they did just enough for the victory. We're looking at a 13-10 victory, a difference of 3 points. As much as our offense did just enough to win, their offense on the other side did just enough to lose. So that was a really tough matchup. And these guys, both sides, played really well. They played really hard. I'll put it that way. That's probably a little bit better. And getting Sam hurt, I believe Potabon went down as well. So I'm not sure what's going on with that one either. And we'll find out more as that the week comes on. But the offense did just enough. And that's all we need, really, is for them to do just enough. And they've minimized a lot of their mistakes. That's helped out tremendously. Other games where it has been close, mistakes have cost us in the past. And that that's not something to happen here. We're one turnover either way. This might be a different score. But that right now, thank goodness.
So I just want to say one thing, going back to the what you talked about with the O-line and the sack that was given up. Remember, that was that corner coming on that outside blitz, and we saw that Spencer was unable to recognize that. So if you take that out of the equation, the O-line was really good throughout the game in terms of protecting Spencer and opening up some holes for those running backs. So it was a tremendous job, and it's continued to be a tremendous job. We've talked about this throughout the season of that group of five guys growing and their growth throughout the season, but their growth together and meshing. You know that you know better than anybody how important it is to have those guys up front to be on the same page and how important it is to for those guys to constantly work together. It's difficult to have a stop and go type of situation where you bring in different people and you're starting different combinations at that position, but those guys can work together, they can communicate better, and they know what each other's are doing. You can speak to that way better than I can, but, you know, that's one thing I know about that offense.
Well, you know, we played O-line when I was there. We weren't very good when first started, right? We weren't very good at all. And by the time we got done, we were not bad at all. We were pretty good. So going out there, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about my first start. I think it was against Penn State at home. And LeVar Arrington and Courtney Brown out there. LeVar Arrington is playing a linebacker. Courtney's playing DN. Courtney went into the inside. LeVar came to the outside. I didn't touch either one of them. And that was it. But, you know, that's the first play of the game. That's the first time I'm out there. That's who I'm up against, right? But as it went on, I got more experience. I got more comfortable being out there. It's like, oh, here we go. Doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to test your mettle. We're going to figure some things out. As these guys get out there and get going a little bit more, like you said, they're very young. We've been saying that for a while. And they just need to grow up a little bit. And that comes with, like, experience. It's tough to duplicate that. And even when you're talking about, like, practice during the week, people, like, it's not ones against ones. It's not ones on twos normally, right? Normally you're going against the scout team. So a lot of the work and the preparation is done getting into the season. Once you're into the season, you know, it's mainly 101s, will do 907, right? That'll happen. But other than that, you're really looking at scout teams for your real looks. So these guys have done a really good job. I think having some adversity in the beginning and going to get some guys that have, you know, we'll point, say, pointed out some of their weaknesses or things with, hey, we talked to this about the right tackle, that dip and rip. You're going to keep seeing until you stop it. That's just how it goes. I'm not going to stop serving to you until you can stop it. And that's how it went for me when I played there in our O-line. We kept seeing the same looks until we could prove that we could stop it. All the blitzing, all the twisting, everything, all the different moves, until we proved we could stop it. By the time we got done, you know, we were 1-11 to 11-1. Not bad. So that's fine. I'm a big believer. The O-line gets going, you'll see the offense turn around.
No question. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about this Minnesota Golden Gopher team that really racked up a lot of yards, David. They had a total of 399 yards, and 263 of those 399 yards belonged to a Mr. Muhammad Ibrahim. And if you didn't know who he was before that game, shame on you, because you weren't listening to what we were talking about last week in the pregame, because we were talking about this guy being the most talented running back that this Hawkeye defense has faced this entire season, and he just came out and proved it. The young man, like I said, came in and rushed 39 times for 200 to the tune of 263 yards, 6.7 yard average.
Oh, my God.
That's one touchdown. He had a fumble inside the red zone. He did have a fumble inside the red zone. But he just was as patient and as explosive as a running back is in this country right now. And it was on display against the top 10 ranked Hawkeye defense that they came into the game not allowing. I think they may have allowed 100 yard rusher in the season. This guy went for 263. Kaliak Manis, the quarterback, was the second leading rusher with 4 carries for 32 yards. And then Trayson Potts came in and spelled him a couple times, 5 carries for 13 yards. like Anthony Calais. I'll make sure I give him this stat. 7 for 15, 87 yards passing, and that one crucial interception. That was a tip. It was batted off of one defender's back right into Captain Jack Campbell's arms. The hustling to the play, Captain Jack Campbell, who went rumbling down the sideline into the end zone before being called back by an inadvertent whistle by the side judge there. But Kalyev Manis did a good job of running the ball. We saw him a couple times making some good runs, and he was decent in the passing game. You know, he only threw for 87 yards, but that crucial interception in the waning minutes of the game really was what gave the Hawks the go ahead field goal to go ahead and win the game. But they didn't do too much other than our guy Ibrahim in the receiving core. Daniel Jackson caught two passes for 43 yards. Lamecki Brockington caught two passes for 25 yards, and Brevin Span Ford caught two passes for 12 yards. Three receivers caught two passes amongst themselves, and then Ibrahim caught himself a pass. But their whole offense was Muhammad Ibrahim on Saturday. Yes. And the Hawkeye defense, what did we see out of this defense that we have to be concerned with moving forward against this Nebraska Huskers team next week? What did we see that they got to get fixed getting into that game?
Really? Muhammad is special. I don't know how else to put it. It's like, and I don't want to say he's on this level, but it's like Randy Moss. Right, you just kind of like attribute special stats to this gentleman. That's the kind of running back that I'm gonna put some respect on his name, Mr. Ibrahim. Is, you know, he came in there against a top 10 team defense, and I'm gonna say our defense is not very good at giving up the run. They don't do that very often. That's actually a staple here. It's very surprising that we gave up so much, but that's the thing. But he came in and put on a show. He really did. And like you said, very patient. It's I haven't seen patience like that running the ball and then the explosion getting through the hole in a very long time. It's almost like a Le'Veon Bell. Very much that kind of patience. The explosion is something similar to like maybe a Saquon Barkley, right? Very explosive. The elusiveness, I can't say he's very elusive. He did break a bunch of long runs. So, our defense, we haven't seen a special guy like this all season. The closest we had was probably Blake Corum, I would think. Yeah. And then, a couple times we were a little shallow on the blitz. I guess I should say a couple times. One time we were shallow on the blitz. He ran right past us. That was Riley over there coming off the corner. And, he was very patient and waited for us. I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure how much more they could have done with him. So going into this Nebraska game, get back to your fundamentals, work on your angles. They are good. They kept this Minnesota offense to 10 points. And, I'm not sure there's much else they can do with this. What'd you see?
Well, what I saw was a very patient runner and his ability to kind of read those offensive linemen, their ability to get to the next level and wall off our backers. They did a good job. They just have a really good scheme. And we talked about this a lot throughout the season, football being a copycat type of deal where coaches will go and sit down and watch film and say, hey, this is what worked against these guys. How do we use what we already use? How do we do what we already do but tweak it a little bit so that we can make it look just like this, because they had trouble. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to go back to the film room. They're going to have to decide what it was. What was it that was really hurting them? And was it a cutback? Was it the guys overrunning the holes? There's a couple of different factors, but they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and make sure that they really focus in on that, because they will see it again. Almost guaranteed. They will see their same kind of shotgun zone running scheme this week against Nebraska, and whatever they do going forward, if they have the opportunity to go into the championship game, which we'll get into in the pregame. So, but the biggest factor that I saw in that game was guys kind of getting overran in terms of overrunning the holes, and he was just being patient and able to find those cutback lanes. That's what I saw mostly out of it. So got to get back to the fundamentals, like you mentioned, and really focus in on some of these things. But Phil Parker has done a tremendous job throughout this season, as well as seasons past, of getting the guys on the same page, coached up, and in a proper position to be ready for, you know, their opponent. So I have no doubt that he'll do the same thing this upcoming weekend, well, moving forward especially. So total yardage, man. They out yardage the Hawks by, what is it, 119 yards. They had a total of 399 yards. The Hawks had 280. And we already talked about all the stats, man. But the biggest ones, like we talked about, are the turnovers. One fumble lost by Minnesota, one interception from Minnesota. So turnover battle, the Hawks are minus two in this game, which was the key to the game. Not to mention the field game. That was really a key in creating long fields. Torrey Taylor did another tremendous job planting that gopher offense deep within their own side of the field. It was not easy for them to get down the field in terms of trying to mount play after play, drive after drive. They did break a lot of big runs, but to consistently do it over and over again, they were only able to get it punched in one time. So it's going to be a challenge. But we know that the Hawks are now sitting, David, at 7-4. That's right, 7-4. Right? Yeah, they're sitting at 7-4. And heading into the last game of the season, which has become a rivalry game, David. It wasn't a rivalry game when we went to college there. They was just – and if it was, it would have just been them whooping us, and pretty much that was it. that was back then when they had Eric Crouch and Bobby Newcomb. Bobby Newcomb was a starter in '99 when we first played them up there in Kinnick, and then Eric Crouch came in and had the had some pretty good plays, and then he took over that starting role after that game. So this Nebraska Cornhusker team, however, is not that Nebraska Cornhusker team. Nowhere near that.
Not even close. Nope.
They're still reeling and trying to find where their next direction is, trying to figure out who their next head coach is going to be. So they're trying to figure things out. But what makes them dangerous is the fact that they don't care. They don't have anything to play for, so they're going to pretty much do whatever they can to try to upset the Hawks. But we'll get into that in the pregame. David, anything else you got for me for this about this Golden Gopher Hawkeye matchup this past Saturday?
Special teams, like you said, the Aussie Bomber, he showed up, he pinned these guys deep, which is great. Nebraska, they're gonna be good. It's gonna be good to watch Iowa play against these guys. Like you said, they don't have much to I don't think they have much to play for. They have nothing to lose. The other side of that for Nebraska, but they're 0-7 in the last seven matchups, I believe, maybe six. But well, they might be able to get lucky. We'll see. I doubt it.
Well, what I do know is that they are playing for something, David. They're playing to try and lure Deion Primetime Sanders out to their campus to be their next head coach. That's one of the I saw the game, or I saw a couple plays from their last game. I think I don't know who they were playing, but I saw one of the signs, or I didn't even see that. I just saw the highlights. Somebody had a sign up that said, "Bring on Primetime Deion." So for whatever reason, they feel like Deion Sanders is the answer to bringing them back to glory, back to their glory days. I personally don't see that happening. I don't see him leaving Jackson State for Lincoln, Nebraska. But hey, we don't know what the motivations are there. I think he is in the right place for himself, but we'll see. Yeah, I think for that, man, I think that's the episode. We talked about everything, man. It wasn't a lot to this game. It was a lot of Muhammad Ibrahim, and it wasn't a whole lot of anything else. And the Hawks pulled it off. We gotta figure out what's gonna happen with Sam Laporta and Monty Potty Bomb. But those are two key starters for that offense, the leading receiver for the offense. So it's going to be a huge, huge task to try to replace him. Luke Lachey has done a tremendous job throughout the season. So we'll see how it checks out, man.
Yeah, give those two back. That'll be nice. Like I said, we'll talk about the Big Ten championship, but getting that offense. We need everything we can get, man.
We will definitely talk about that. That's one thing we did not mention, that the Hawks, with this past Saturday's game, have put themselves squarely in position to control their destiny. As I'm sure everybody knows, when this upcoming weekend against the Cornhuskers lands them square in Big Ten championship game, just like they were last year. So this is a huge game coming up this Saturday. We'll get into it a bit more later on this week. But for now, I appreciate you guys taking the time to take a listen to Hawk Talk. Click subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. We appreciate you guys for joining us. It's a tremendous season, David. We are 1, 2, 3 games left in the season. And we've seen these Hawkeyes grow, particularly on the offensive side. So it's been a tremendous year. And I'm excited to see how it finishes out. But for David Porter, I am Colin Cole. This is Hawk Talk. I appreciate you guys for joining us and taking a listen to this podcast. And we'll see you next time when we talk about the Cornhuskers of Nebraska, and as they will come to Kinnick Stadium and take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm excited, man. You should be excited. It's going to be cold, though. I know it's going to be cold. So we'll see what happens in terms of those guys acclimated and how comfortable they are. I hate that kind of weather, but, you know, it is what it is. Again, thank you all for joining us. I'm Colin Cole, David Porter. Take care. God bless, and go Hawks.
Go Hawks.